Now we've got the president of the Hillsville U3A, John. How are you, John?
I'm pretty well, thank you, well, despite the cold.
John, when I sent you an email, you told me you've been away. So tell me a bit about where you were and what the weather was like. I bet it was better than this.
Just a little bit better. We had 2 weeks in Bali. I've got a daughter who lives in Bali now. She's married with 3 children, so we grabbed the opportunity to go and spend some time with her.
Yep.
And, shirts, short sleeves, swimming pools, walking around the beaches.
Tell me, what was the temperature like?
Varied between sort of 26 and 31.
Oh. and at night?
And at night time, we sleep in air conditioning. I mean, we went from having air conditioning at night to bring the temperature down,
yep,
to fires in Melbourne to bring the temperature up.
So what was the weather like when you left there?
Well, as I think I was saying to you before, I jumped on the aeroplane on Tuesday night in Denpasar, and it was 30 degrees at 10 o'clock at night. And jumped off the aeroplane in Melbourne the following morning, and it was 4 degrees. So that was a real shock to the system.
It is. It's very hard for the system. Now, John, I guess like Wirree Community House and all the schools, you started back on Monday.
We've been back now for all of 3 days.
3 days.
Today's the third.
So first of all, just give me a quick wrap-up, or the audience, a quick wrap-up on how the last term went.
Last term I think was very successful. I mean, our growth has continued, and we've introduced 2 or 3 new courses.
Yep.
And, the only thing which sort of got in the way a bit was cold weather and sickness and illness and things like that.
Yep.
So in some places, in some occasions, numbers were down a little bit in classes, but the apologies were being given for sickness and doctor's appointments and all those sorts of things.
Pardon me. And do you get a few heading north for a few weeks?
I mean, we had we sort of have a bit of an exodus towards the end of term two.
Yep.
And in fact, 2 of our committee members packed the trailer and took off in their car, and they headed off for 8 weeks.
You can't blame them, can you?
No. So they headed up to Queensland and went across, headed inland a bit, and then came down through Moree and Wagga.
I remember a friend of mine, when he retired, he said, "I'm never going to put in another winter." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I've bought a van, and as soon as it turns cold down here, I'm up north, and I'll come back when it starts to warm up down here."
Well, our next door neighbour's like done that. I mean, he's got a caravan, and he heads off every winter now. Heads north to Queensland.
Yep.
He loves his rock and roll music. He loves his Elvis impersonations. He loves all those sorts of things.
Yep.
But he heads off every winter, comes back in about August, September. Loves Hillsville from September through to about March. And then time to go.
You can't blame people for doing that. All right, so what do you think were the highlights of the last term, John?
The highlights would be, I think, the introduction of a couple of new courses. We've introduced a Shakespeare course, which I was a little bit surprised at the take-up of it.
Were you?
Yeah. Well, it's not the sort of thing which I would imagine people would really take to.
Yep.
But it was a course which came out of a number of our Roman history members.
Right.
We've got about 25 members who do a Roman history course.
Yep.
And a number of them thought that they'd like to have a go at Shakespeare and sit down. And what they do, they watch productions on television.
They don't necessarily read it.
They can read bits and pieces of it, but primarily they view a film of it.
Yep.
Could be a film of a stage production, could be an actual film itself.
When they're there, John, or at home, and they come to discuss it?
No, they come. They watch it in the courthouse. They watch it on television off a DVD, off a DVD player. And they stop it at the end of each act or whatever, particular parts of the way along the trip.
Yep.
And discuss it and work out what's going on, discuss whether they like. I'm surprised at the number of Shakespeare enthusiasts and the experiences people have got.
Have they? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there are people there who talk about experiences of seeing productions in Melbourne. A couple of us have seen overseas productions of various plays and things like that.
Yeah.
So it just took me a little bit by surprise that, you know, there would be that many people around.
Shows you there was a need there.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, we've got 14 members in the group at the moment.
Yeah.
And because they started late, they're pretty hardy folk, because the only time we could fit them in was at 9:15 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great idea if you start in term one.
Yep.
But if you're in term two and the nights grow long and the days grow cold, you find yourself out of pretty cold rooms.
Terrific. Now, what was the other one? You said you had a couple.
Oh, I suppose, you know, getting the theatre production underway again is always a bit of a highlight. And,
yep.
We've adopted a slightly different approach this year with the, rather than working through the whole thing every fortnight as we did in previous years,
yep.
We decided, or Lois decided this year, that we would only meet once a month as a whole group.
Yep.
And in the intervening ones, there'd be just particular sections or groups of people who would do it.
Yep.
And they might just work on songs, they might just work on a particular scene or something like that.
Yep.
But rather than have the whole thing sort of worked on over the whole year.
Yep.
But it starts in earnest tomorrow.
So tomorrow.
We've got our first full dress rehearsal tomorrow.
So do we know what it's about this year?
It's set in London after the Second World War.
Yep.
Some Navy and Army personnel meet in decide they're going to put on a show. So the few girls around, and they sidle up to the girls, or the girls sidle up to them, and the girls want to put on a show for the boys and all that sort of thing. And the boys said, "Are we going to outdo you?" And all that sort of thing. Bit of competition between the Army and the Navy, all those sorts of things.
And this is written by Lois, isn't it?
Yeah. But Lois does the whole thing.
Does a terrific job. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. You I'm talking to John from Hillsville U3A. He's the president up there. We've been talking about the last term, and of course, as of Monday of this week, where they started back for term three. So, John, what can we expect to be coming up in this term?
Well, in term three, I think we're sort of heading, I suppose the best thing is we're heading in towards summer again.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, things will get a bit warmer. But, no, I just really want to sort of, I suppose, focus on the fact that the U3A kit continues to grow. I mean, we're heading towards 350 members now. So
that's great.
If you go back sort of 18 months, we were 250, 260 members. Yep. So that's we've done pretty well, and part of that comes from the energy of the courses and so on, the people that put together. Yep. Got over 40 courses again, sort of covering just about every interest you can think of, whether it be sort of outdoor activities like garden lovers or walking, bike riding, bushwalking, those sorts of things.
Garden lovers? What's that, John?
Garden lovers is a group of... it's organised where a group of members will go and visit various gardens. Heather organises, lines up 10 or 12 gardens over the course of the year. They only meet once a month.
Yep.
They go once a month. And... a member of the U3A or somebody else in Hillsville or in the area, will open their gardens for people to come and have a look. They will take them on a bit of a walk through the garden, talk about the plants and the flowers. These are people who invariably have, you know, they've put a lot of time and effort into their gardens.
Yep.
And so they've got a fairly good sense of what's there, what they've done, and they're very keen to sort of show people the products.
And you can always learn new things travelling through other people's gardens, can't you?
Absolutely. And then they have a morning tea that people sort of either bring a donation or they bring a plate, and then they'll sit down and just chat casually. And, you know, you could have anywhere between sort of 35 and 45 people sort of just walking around the garden. Oh, yeah, in some cases the numbers are limited because the garden's not big enough.
Yep.
You know, other cases it's sort of open to anybody who wants to come along.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so it's that's one of the more popular. We've in fact got 80 people on the list for garden lovers. We can't fit them all in every time.
True.
But so garden lovers is a very popular course.
Yep.
But then you've got all the sorts of things like cryptic crosswords, various games. Pickleball is something which has really taken off.
I should have mentioned that in the previous session because.
Yeah. If you wanted to talk, we started with pickleball at the end of last year as a trial.
Yep.
We eventually got a grant from the Shire, from the Yarra Ranger Shire, to sort of set it up and purchase equipment, all sorts of things. Started out with a group of about 14 enthusiasts once a week.
Yep.
We used the Hillsville High School, the gymnasium there, and they've been very supportive of us. And
During the day, John, or...
Sorry?
During the day?
No, it's after school. We start at 3:30.
Yep.
And go through till about 5 o'clock.
Yep.
And the numbers started off at 14, 15 once a week. We're now running two sessions every week, Mondays and Wednesdays, and we've got close to 60 people.
Gee.
Playing. Yeah, they don't all turn up every time, mind you.
We wouldn't want them.
But, you know, we can run four or five games every... on each court.
Just explain very briefly what pickleball is again, John.
Pickleball is sort of, it's a combination of, how do I describe it? It's a bit like sort of table tennis and shuttlecock in the sense that it's got elements of tennis in it as well.
Right.
But it's played with a paddle rather than a racket.
Yep.
And it's played with a plastic ball with holes in it. Rather than a tennis ball.
Yep.
So it doesn't move nearly as quickly.
Yep.
It's scored in the same way that squash is scored. So, but you could have an advantage of two. So you play to 11.
Is there a net?
Oh yes, you play over a net as you do in tennis.
Right.
So so and a game lasts for most people, I suppose, 15 minutes, 10-15 minutes.
Oh, so it's not. You don't commit to an hour or something, which could be a bit hard.
Yeah, I mean, it's like playing, you know, best of, you know, three sets or something like that, but a set or a game lasts about 10, 15 minutes. And, but, you know, we've got some diehards, some real enthusiasts there.
Have you?
In fact, a number of them obviously play Mondays and Wednesdays. You know, they're so keen and enthusiastic about it. But, yeah, it's an exciting game to watch. It's great for older people because you don't have to move nearly as far or as fast.
Yep.
And you can get to the ball more easily. But nevertheless, all the skills and hand-eye coordination and all those sorts of things.
Maturity.
And actually, if you go and if you do some YouTubing on pickleball, they're acting from America in particular, where it's very big.
I was going to ask you where it came from. It came out of America.
I think it started in America.
Yep.
And the pickleball championships they hold, they're run by people and they're held by people in their 25s, 30s, and so on. So they're quite young.
Yeah.
And it's very popular there. It's the fastest growing, or one of the fastest growing sports in Australia at the moment. And it's proving very popular.
Oh, right. And you play it in the gym at the...
Yeah, we take a basketball court, set up three courts running across the basketball court.
Right.
So, and so the length of the court is the width of a gym.
Yeah, so it's not the great long tennis.
No.
Yep.
And, so we can run three games in. The high school's got two gyms, so we can actually set up... We could set up to six games at any one time.
All right.
So you're involved in 24 people and in anyone at any one time in one gym.
Yep.
And it's very exciting, very good. Lots of activity and lots of interest and enthusiasm. And those who love it, love it.
Yep.
But it's one of the one of the things which I was talking to someone from the Shire not so long ago. They were really pleased to see pickleball taking off because it's something which is growing and they're looking for a way of bringing it into the ranges. And I think there is another organisation somewhere down around Olinda or somewhere around there, down there somewhere. But, it's very popular.
Terrific. Yep. I'll take another quick break. John, we'll be back with more.
Congratulations and celebrations when I tell everyone that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be. Who would believe that I could be happy and contented? I used to think that happiness hadn't been invented, but that was in the bad old days before I met you. When I let you walk into my heart. Congratulations and celebrations when I tell everyone that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be. I was afraid that maybe you thought you were above me, that I was only fooling myself to think you'd love me. But then tonight you said you couldn't live without me. That round about me, you wanted to stay. Congratulations and celebrations when I tell everyone that you're in love with me. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be. Congratulations and jubilations. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be. I want the world to know I'm happy as can be.
And I'm talking to John, and we're talking about all things about the Hillsville U3A. John, you've got some more programs to talk about.
Yeah, we've got as far as talking about games and pickleball and so on, but there's dancing, there's music, there's instruments, there's guitar, banjo, all those sorts of things.
Dancing? What sort of dancing, John?
Partner dancing, line dancing, all of those sorts of things. There is history, there's Roman history, there's philosophy, there's reading, there's French, yoga. Gymnastics, yoga for seniors,
yep.
gymnastics for seniors, and their additions from this year, which have proved quite popular.
Yep.
But, you know, people are basically looking for things that interest them. Talked about pickleball. A couple of the interesting courses, we've got this course called Hit the Road, which we've talked about in the past, but they're planning a 2 to 3 week visit to the Flinders Ranges next year.
Are they? You don't have to have a caravan to go on that, do you?
No, because the sites that they choose, or the Anne and David who run the course choose, they try to organise cabins and things like that as well.
Yep.
So you can drive a four-wheel drive or drive your own car, mainly bitumen roads.
Yep.
And you can book into cabins along the way. So on the road to on the way to Flinders Ranges, they've got about 5 or 6 stopovers.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll look and see various sites along the way, visit various towns. And if you don't have a caravan, you set up in a cabin for a night or two. And just keep moving through, and that's what they're off anyway. They're off the Flinders Ranges.
That'd be a good trip.
Explore the area around there. And another one, the Roman History Group, are organising a trip possibly to Italy next year.
Gee, that'd be all right.
Explore the ruins.
Yeah.
That won't be necessarily part of our U3A thing, but it's that particular group of people who are going. But so there's some pretty interesting and different things happening. So we've got those sorts of things. We've also got a couple of areas where groups are performing for the community. I mean, the choir are performing. In fact, the choir's performing at SGRH Care up in Yarra Junction Tuesday next week.
Yep.
We've got
the ukulele. How big's the choir, John?
In the choir, about... Well, we've got 32, 33 listed.
Yep.
They don't always all turn up to every performance for a variety of reasons.
Yeah.
Some of them are mums with kids at home, all those sorts of things. We rehearse in the evening so they can get away.
Oh, that's good. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So, and then we've got the ukulele, your famous ukulele group. Don't talk about
it. Tell me, is that growing?
Yeah.
Someone told me that there is an upsurge in ukulele play.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, at the state conference, which is the U3A Network State Victoria's state conference, which is being held in October, at the beginning of October, at the official launch, they're having a ukulele extravaganza. All the ukulele.
Oh, don't tell George.
But it's being held in Federation Square. All these ukulele players are gathering in Federation Square. They're going to. They've got the chords, or been given the chords of a couple of songs that they're going to sing, and they're going to come together. And they'll be there for anyone who's a ukulele fan who wants to go. And I know you'll be there, Alan.
I wonder why is there an upsurge in it, do you know? Does anyone know?
Oh, look, I think it's... I think there's an interest... I think it satisfies a lot of people who would like to be able to play an instrument to accompany themselves.
And is it an easier instrument to learn?
And because it's only 4 strings, the chord structures are much more easy to actually put together.
Right.
So once you get into 6 strings and 12 strings, as you do with guitars and so on, some of the chord structures can become much more complicated and actually require a little bit more in terms of actually using your hands and playing. But the ukulele, I think, makes it a very easy transition to get going into those sorts of things. Some people just love the ukulele and the sort of music that they play. We've got a number of people in the ukulele group who also play banjos and guitars.
Right.
So, you know, I think that, you know, they just like the kind of music that ukuleles play. But, I think to answer your question, I think it's got a lot to do with the fact that it's a relatively... I won't say it's easy, because no instrument is easy to play well.
Yep.
But it's relatively easy to get going.
Yep.
The songs are fairly. You learn 4 chords and you can play just about anything.
That's
true for a lot of music these days.
Yeah, but I was going to say if you go back, and I know we're joking about it, but if you go back to a guitar and that, I mean, you can't. They're very difficult to learn, and you got to learn more than 4 chords.
Well, if you're going to play it really well, yes, you do.
Yeah.
There's a song which came out, a group that came out, and they produced a song called the 4 Chord Song, and they played it on keyboard and guitar.
Yeah.
And they went through, and you can get it, you can YouTube it, but they play a sequence of about 10, 12 songs using exactly the same chord structure.
There you go.
Yeah. So, you know, most popular music these days is built around four chords. Once they've got that, once you've mastered that, of course, you become more particular and more complicated and develop other
but
chords.
But you still have a lot of fun, though.
But, you know, if you learn four chords, you can play an awful lot of songs, and it becomes then a social thing because you can always find, you know, as I said, we've got 28, 30 people who get together and just have a lot of fun.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Anything else, John?
So that's the ukulele group, and I think the point that I wanted to make there is that what we do is provide, we're now in developing relationships with the various organisations and groups in Healesville, providing opportunities for ukulele groups, choirs and so on to get out and perform.
To perform. Yeah. And that's really what they want to do, isn't it? It's great to practice and that, but it's really good to get out and actually get an audience.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, and it gives you also something to work towards. I mean, all of them would say they just love getting together on a Tuesday morning and strumming away at the ukulele and having a bit of fun. And, you know, as one of the one of the banjo guitar people in the group says, I just love getting out together and having a jam. I don't care, just with anybody who'll play.
That's fair enough, too.
But, you know, what it's also good, if you want to really improve and work towards developing your skills, having a performance and something to work towards is really important.
And I guess the other thing is, too, that, and I know you and I have mentioned this before, and I mentioned it with Sonia before, too, is that it's not only while they're at that, whatever, however long that is, it's the people they meet down the street on the off days when they go and do their shopping and all this sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You've got other people to actually talk to rather than be just sitting at home or whatever.
And, after a couple of banjo sessions with... I don't play the banjo, I play the guitar.
Right.
I haven't had a go at the ukulele yet. No, I don't think I will.
Well, you should be able to.
But yeah, you know, you find sort of half a dozen people who they've been working, they've been playing together, having a jam in the courthouse there with their group, and three or four of them you'll find them in Walgreens Bakery, if I can mention it.
Yeah,
having a cup of coffee and something afterwards, and just having a chat.
I've got to take a break in a minute, but John, have you played the guitar like just for your own, just to mess around, or have you played with a group or anything like that?
I've not played with a group. Right. I play for myself mainly.
Yep.
Not as much as I should and would like to. I tend to play a bit more of the piano than the guitar.
All right, we'll just take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Hallelujah, long
And that, of course, that was Olivia Newton-John and Long Live Love. I should mention I'll be here on Sunday with Music Memories and More, hits of the 50s, 60s and 70s. And then I'll be back on Sunday night with the 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. Late 50s, early 60s music. So plenty of music coming up this Sunday. But we're talking to John from Hillsville U3A. John, you want to tell us a bit more about a few programs?
I mentioned the Shakespeare thing,
yep,
of course, not so long ago. And another one which came out of the blue, which totally surprised me, was a couple of members expressed interest in learning Latin.
Latin?
Latin. So if I can take the opportunity now, if there's anybody out there who has some experience in teaching Latin or knows something about it and would like to run a course.
Oh, so you're looking for someone to run the course?
Yeah. If there's anybody out there who knows enough to try and teach a few people who are interested, if they could contact the secretary of the U3A, and I'll give you the phone details later, if they could contact them, we would love to hear from them. We've been trying to find somebody. Of course, it's a dead language. Hardly anybody
uses it. I don't think anyone used it much at all now.
No. But I think, you know, I mean, I learnt it at school.
Yep.
Failed at year 10 quite brilliantly, so that's when I stopped. But, yeah, you know, and it was one of those languages that was part and parcel of a lot of schools during the 50s, 60s and earlier, because it's actually a fairly straightforward language. It's got very few inconsistencies, irregularities, but it's actually a very easy language to learn in one sense. But it's also the foundation of so much of the Anglo-Saxon heritage and the English language.
So you're really looking for somebody who could come along and teach? Because I guess the other thing too, which I've got a note here, which I was going to ask you, I guess anybody out there that has some interest that they could run a course or think they could run a course, you'd love to hear from them too, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And in fact, one of the things we're looking at doing, in October is the Over 50s Festival Month. It used to be the Seniors Month.
Yeah,
they now call it over 50s to be politically correct, I guess. But anyway, we're as an organisation trying to work at what we can do for that. And one of the things where some of the ideas that we've tossed around a little bit are things like opening up courses for people to come and just visit us off the street, come along, step in, have a look at a course, see what they think of it. Also highlighting particular courses, but then provides an opportunity for people who might be interested in teaching a course to come along and introduce themselves to us and say, you know, this is what I'd like to do, I'd like to have a go at it. And that's how a couple of, you know, courses have started up, you know, during the course.
Is that how the Shakespeare one started up?
Yeah, I mean, that's how the Shakespeare course started up. We find that people out in the community have all kinds of hidden talents.
Yep.
Yeah, they're things that they're passionate about, they love doing, but they do it in a particular context. Somebody says, well, look, I'd like to... We've got one member of our community there who has passion for films.
Yep.
And he's got... So he runs his film night, or film afternoon, actually.
Yep.
And it takes you back to the good old days when you went and watched a few cartoons and things like that, the old newsreels and all that, and then you watch a feature film.
Terrific.
But, you know, he just said, look, I can do this. I'd like to have a go at it. And it's become quite popular.
Terrific. John, I've got to take a quick break and then we'll be back with more, but also the contact details. So get your paper and pencil and John would love to hear from you.
never meant to cut me down. And if my love was just a circus, you'd be a clown by now. And no, I'm still standing better than I ever did, looking like a true survivor, feeling like a little kid. I'm still standing after all this time, picking up the pieces of my life without you on my mind. I'm still standing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm still standing.
John, unfortunately, our time's fast coming to an end, but you've got a few things you'd like to run past us.
Yeah, look, you know, we've spent a lot of time talking about the U3A, and U3A offers, I think, an enormous amount for people who are certainly primarily in their 50 years and over age group. But, you know, we're not the only organisation in Healesville that does that. And I guess what I would like to do is encourage people to look around and see just what is available that might cater for their interests. I mean, you've got organisations like beyond the U3A. Yep. You've got the Living and Learning Centre out there. You've got the Men's Shed. You've got Healesville Connect. Yarrawarra and Tarrawarra are always looking for volunteers and people who might be, who have got an interest in the arts, Rotary, Lions, all the local churches. There are walking and bush walking clubs. You don't have to go very far before you'll find a group of people walking past you.
No, that's true.
And that's, yep, a walking group in Healesville. Yep. There are book clubs and there are choirs. So, you know, I guess it's we talk about the importance of being active and keeping going. And I guess what I'd be saying is that, you know, for people living in this area, there are lots of areas, lots of things, lots of organisations out there who offer something for you. You, yep, just have to look.
Just have a look.
Yep. Just have a look and see.
And don't just sit at home. Get yourselves out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, it's such a rewarding thing to do. I mean, one of the things I noticed when we started the beginning of this week, back after the holidays, half a dozen people sort of turned around. You know, we walked into the art and craft group, and they're all so excited to see each other again. They had stories to tell. They'd been doing other things, but, yep, they'd missed each other. They'd missed the company and the laughter and the frivolity started.
Yep.
It's just wonderful.
Yep.
So, you know, getting out and about and joining organisations and keeping yourself active,
yep,
physically, mentally, socially, is really important.
Well, I know you can't put Alzheimer's off. Well, you can't cure them, but they say that the more socially connected you are, the it'll sort of push it back further rather than if you just sit home and do nothing.
And there's a lot of evidence out there to support that idea.
Yep.
The other thing I'd say is, you know, organisations like us, we're always looking for people to join. I mean, volunteering is a very important thing to, yep, to do. But there are many kinds. There are some people who volunteer, and it's just they might volunteer for 2 or 3 hours a week. You know, go and help out in the Lions Club, or they go into the local bookshop or secondhand shop and just give a bit of their time and that sort, yep, of thing. So that's one end of it. And then you've got people at the other extreme who make a commitment to it. They might want to do it a day, give a day of their week, or do something every day of the week, or whatever it might be.
Yep.
But they're the sorts of choices that you can make. But getting out and helping and doing something is actually a very rewarding
thing. You actually get more out of volunteering than you'll ever put into it.
Yeah.
With the people you meet, you will.
And in fact, you know, at the state conference, the U3A state conference coming up in October, one of the keynote speakers is Dr. Norman Swan. and he's going to be talking about the myths of ageing. Which I think will be quite interesting.
Yep.
So, but essentially what he's talking about, you know, keeping active, meeting people, developing new relationships is really important, in not only for the community, but I think just for ourselves and for our own self-esteem.
Absolutely. And you and I have discussed this before, social isolation, they say, will be the biggest killer in the next 20 or 30 years if people don't do something about it and get themselves out. Because as more and more people retire, it's so easy to just sit at home and do nothing.
Hmm. And even people who are in semi-retirement, I mean, people who've got a job and so on, what they do in the other part of their lives and so on, it becomes really important. And that transition from one to the other is something which is really important to work on. If you're fortunate enough or you're keen to sort of keep working 2 or 3 days a week, then is the time to start exploring, well, what can I do in the other 2 days? I can go and play golf if I want to. I'm a terrible golfer, so I've never tried to do that. And that's not true. I've tried once and regretted it immediately.
The other thing is too that I think back in my father's age or maybe even earlier than that, you sort of worked until you were 65 and they expect you to die, to live around 4 or 5 years and you die. And so that was really retirement. But our retirement, a bit like U3A, is the start of another life.
Well, and they call it, you know, they don't call it the third age for nothing.
Yep.
You know, it is the third age of your existence.
And it doesn't have to be the end.
And it's the beginning.
Yep.
It's the beginning of a new stage.
Yep.
Beginning of a new life. So, you know, anyway, so I would encourage people if they've got something they'd like to offer.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be a sort of, you know, a 5-day-a-week thing.
Yep.
A couple of hours a day, all those sorts of things are really important.
And I guess from your point of view, if they've got a particular talent or something they'd like that maybe U3A aren't offering at the moment, you'd love to hear from them.
Absolutely. And if they want to pursue that in greater detail, they can certainly give me a ring or they can ring up the secretary of U3A and we can talk about the courses that we would like to see develop. We can talk about... The other thing which we're aware of too is that, you know, there's a succession planning. I mean, the people who are running the courses now won't be there forever and a day, and so things have to keep going.
Yeah, you don't want them to come around. John, they've got their paper and pencil ready. Give us some details, please.
Okay. If you would like to contact the U3A to explore any of the things we've been talking about in the last hour, the office, if you want to make a call into the courthouse at 42 Harker Street in Healesville, just opposite the terminus and next door to the police station, if you want to. Between 11 and 12, you'll find somebody there who can talk to you and take you through all the things that you might, all the questions, to answer all the questions you might have. If you want to ring up, you can ring up on this phone number, 0490 917 975. Or you can email the secretary of the U3A at Healesville, all lowercase, healesville.u3a@bigpond.com.
Fair enough. What was the phone number again, please, John?
The phone number, 0490 917 975. And the email address is, again, all lowercase, healesville.u3a@bigpond.com.
Sounds good to me, John. You've got us excited. I hope you get a whole lot of new recruits. I shouldn't say as long as they're not ukulele players, because that'll upset George.
No. I think George is desperate to get back and give you one last ukulele performance.
Well, as long as we don't play
Tiny Tim
again.
Tulips.
I just about got taken off the air after that effort. John, look, it's been terrific having you again.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Not a problem. I think U3A do a fabulous job, and I think we've talked about this, and I talked about it a bit earlier. People retire. The worst thing you can do is just sit at home and do nothing. So let's get the phones ringing, and thank you for your time again, John.
Good. Thank you.
Thanks.